Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, joined once again by my good buddy, colleague, and pal, one Mr. Brian E. Roach. Brian, good to have you back on consecutive weeks, my friend. How's it going?
It's beautiful. It's lovely. Life is a festival, carnival. I don't know. What's the song? I don't even know. I can't remember now.
No, you're wrong. Life is like a hurricane. You might not know that reference, my friend. You're a little more older than me. That's from DuckTales. So
yeah, I never watched the DuckTales.
I understand.
I don't know anything about that.
it's a classic for anyone that's probably in my demo. Someone out there got it. So
look, I know Huey, Dewey, and Louie. All right, I know Donald and his nephews, but I did not watch the DuckTales.
Oh man, but Scrooge, I don't know. You would come off Scrooge-ish maybe in some ways.
Scrooge was not my favorite Disney character growing up. It was Donald.
Okay.
But I was anti-Mickey for a long time. And then for a very short period of time, Mickey was cool. And then I went back to Donald.
That's funny, man. I mean, I could definitely see Donald Duck, the correlation there. But most of the kids grew up with the DuckTales era, like myself, not to dovetail too much. The guy swam in a vault full of coins and gold coins, money. Like, it was like, oh yeah, you know what? This is pretty cool. So he was still like the rich.
How am I supposed to relate to that? I can't relate to that.
No,
I
don't nobody have can, gold. But we all
can
win.
Swim in money.
We could all dream, right? So a sidetrack too there. They down at Disney Springs, down in Florida, where all the Disney stuff is, Walt Disney World. They have a store. It's nothing but Christmas stuff. And they have commemorative anniversary, limited edition, whatever those things might be. And I got myself one of those Scrooge swimming through the vault ornaments or whatever. It was pretty cool. So the new one, Brian, I know your daughter's older than mine, but somehow Stitch has made a comeback. Stitch came out after I was like beyond that kind of era of Disney when I grew up. And now there's Stitches on everything. Like you could buy literally any, it's kind of like buying Steelers stuff, to be honest.
So. Stitch is very big. I don't really know if I know why, but yeah, Stitch is very big.
I will fail to understand that. So anyways, since you and I talked, and it's funny. It was like last week we were talking about all the league rule changes and everything like that. By the way, nice hat.
I like the hat, but you know, I can't, when I'm inside, I actually like this hat quite a bit. It's a nice hat. The draft hat. Right.
Yeah.
But I can't wear hats inside for any length of time. I have to take them off. I can wear them outside forever, but sitting inside, I just can't do it.
Yeah. Get a little warm, my friend. And you know what? I feel it because I don't have any hair. So that's probably the difference. You know what I mean? But you and I talking last week, we were scanning the airwaves for any kind of news. And it was just, we were talking about the league rule changes, blah, 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 blah. This new kickoff thing gets, you know, put in, we go off the air, I'm producing the show, and the Cordarrelle Patterson news like just drops as it's like halfway uploading to the interwebs. So just to kick off the show with talking about that, Steelers typically always on the forefront of, you know, anything that's kind of like a change or anything like that. How do you feel? I mean, as far as he has the third most return yards in NFL history. The Steelers obviously need a returner, and we don't know how these return rules are going to affect teams now, because like it's pretty much been a dead play for several years, and they keep making tweaks to it to make it. Now they're trying to make it exciting again and give an actual opportunity to return the ball. But he's also what, like 34 years old now? So I have my hesitations, my reservations as usual. But you got to commend them on at least. It reminds me of who was the guy that they got that Tomlin tripped him. He was from the Ravens, Jacoby Jones.
Yeah, Jacoby.
And then they added him that one season. He added just a small spark and ended up retiring. That's what it reminds me of.
I don't know how to say his first name, so I'm not going to try.
Cordarrelle.
Whatever.
Actually,
you just said.
Flash is his nickname.
Oh, well, Uh-oh. That's, yeah. Well, I get the connotation. Like, Zach's going to be very into this then. Anyway, I'm just going to call him Mr. Patterson.
Mr. Patterson.
Mr. Patterson I don't have a problem with the move. I mean, it's taking advantage of changes in the rules or trying to put yourself in the best light to take advantage of changes in the rules, even though I don't think they were fully in support of this kickoff change. But once it went in place, hey, going to do what we got to do, try and make ourselves most. This is the thing I will say about the Steelers this offseason. Omar Khan is doing whatever he can do to make this team more competitive and better. I don't have any real problems with it. Am I super excited and like pumped and want to go buy an 84 jersey? No, I'm not. But
yeah, it's funny. He's worn 84 his entire career. So now we got a new 84. We can wash the stench off of the last prominent player who wore that jersey. So man, Antonio Brown is just that guy. That CTE ESPN stuff is just off the, it's way off the rails. So, but I don't think there's been any other news. And last time we got together, we talked about what are the new needs following most of the free agency. Patterson's the last move the Steelers really did. I mean, they signed Kyle Allen. I think that happened just before, or it's now official. Quez Watkins now official. We thought Quez Watkins was going to be the guy to maybe compete for that return job. They're just adding some veteran bodies in that receiver room for the sake of adding bodies. But it begs the question of what draft pick do the Steelers use for what position? Because obviously that receiver room is still kind of bare. They've been talking to a lot of players that have that, first round or top 50 pick potential. But we're all sitting here, blue in the face, banging on the desk, looking at the obvious holes that are also on the roster, and they also exist on the offensive side of the ball. So we need to ask ourselves, we'll have a discussion because you and I have disagreements on this.
Yes, we do.
But it's obvious that, okay, Broderick Jones, you could play him at either side. And there's also been a little leak of whatever interview you want to pull from. Omar Khan's been asked, Mike Tomlin's been asked, Art Rooney II's been asked. And it's, do you want to get Broderick Jones back to his quote natural or what you drafted him for position to play left tackle? And in order to do that, you're probably not moving Dan Moore to the right side because, as we said before, Dan Moore is not capable of playing right tackle according to everything that we've seen or heard with the Steelers. They refuse to play him there. In fact, so much so that they would have rather had Broderick play on the right and felt that he helped the line more on the right side than Chuks Okorafor on the right and or swapping Dan Moore to the other side. So, in saying all that, I don't know that there's a starting center on this roster right now. So,
there's not.
Yeah. So, how high of a priority? Those look like the three priorities. You can look at some of these other websites, NFL.com, Pro Football Focus. They're kind of lost on some of the signings or some of the needs sometimes, or they're way off base, or there's just a cursory. It's almost going to be like what we end up doing and looking and seeing what other teams' needs are, because we could go by some of that, some of our own feelings, some of the teams we know a little bit closer other than the Steelers. But, man, center is just this glaring, big, flashing, broken neon sign that says, I need fixed, probably. Would you say more than wide receiver or more than adding another offensive tackle at this point?
In my mind, center is a priority. Like we've talked about this 100 times. You build from your strength from the middle, right? So the middle of the line, if you're weak in the middle of the line, it really doesn't matter how good the rest of the line is. You're going to have a weak line, right? If you have strength in the middle of the line, it can actually make up for for issues that may occur on the way out. Now you can't just have scrubs the rest of the way, right? But you got Seminole. I still can't say his name. You have Isaac, Mr. Isaac,
Suamalu,
and you have Mr. Daniels. Yes, Sue. There you go, Suamalu. No,
wait a minute. Can you say Mr. Daniels' first name?
Yeah, but I'm gonna just start calling people Mr. Something.
Okay.
I don't know why. But yeah, I can say James. My brother's name is James, so I can say James.
Mr.
Yeah, and no, let's not say that. They're terrible. but so it's critical for them to address this, right? Herbig cannot be the center that you're going into the season with. right? That's, it's just, it can't be. So you're either got to pull it out of a bag somewhere with a trade that I just don't anticipate is going to happen. I don't see anybody else giving up a starting caliber center. So that means you're in the draft. And if you're going to be in the draft, you know, there are centers that are in the top level. And you, this is where we start to have our disagreements. In my view, this is one of the best center classes that we've seen in a long time. And that means that they're going to go higher, in my opinion, than they normally do. But the Steelers have never had a problem. I mean, Marquise Pouncey's first round center, right? The Steelers have not had a problem drafting a center in the first round, if that was what the best position and the best value was going to be. And I'm not saying any of these guys are Marquise Pouncey, right? He is a potential Hall of Fame level player. But you've got JPJ, you've got Barton from Duke, and you've got Zach Frazier from West Virginia. Those are your top three, in my view. And, you know, the question is, where can you get them? Do you have to invest a first-round pick? If you want, I think if you want JPJ or you want Barton, the answer is yes. You have to invest a first-round pick, because I don't believe that they will be there in the second round.
Okay. Here's my thing, and that's where we're at. Okay. I believe that there might only be one that goes second round or first round as far as centers. Traditionally, 3 to 5 centers in your top 100 picks. A lot of that gets hot and heavier as you go from picks 51 to 100 historically. You feel that this is such a top tier class, and there's a lot of people that aren't, by the way, Brian, they're not even listing Graham Barton as
a center.
He's got tons of
flexibility. He can play any of the positions. He's literally a five position offensive lineman, which is part of the reason he's not last into the second round.
Yeah, you think some teams, maybe even the Steelers, would view him as being a center. In fact, right now, like, I'm just using Pro Football Focus, but because people have these, they have rankings all over the place, right? He is the 25th ranked player on PFF's big board. Now, there's a lot of things to sift through here. We're going to be a little scatterbrained on some of this. I want to rewind for a second, because if you feel you've got a position flexible player like this, like we were saying this about Spencer Anderson too, like you don't have Barton showing a whole lot of playing center in college, is left tackle the whole way. And you've got a position flexible guy, Broderick Jones, that could play on the right. Do you draft another left tackle and leave Jones on the right? It seems a little silly taking Jones 15th or 14th overall a year ago and putting them on the right. Not a lot of teams do that. Everyone values the left tackle, unless you have a left-handed quarterback, of course. So then you would probably value your right tackle then becomes the blind side protector instead of the left side. So the Steelers in the past they've filled these roles by all kinds of different rounds in draft grades or whatever. You've had Marcus Gilbert on the right side. He was a second rounder. They tried to get Mike Adams to play left tackle as a second rounder. They had Kelvin Beachum, who played, who was a seventh rounder. You had Alejandro Villanueva, who was undrafted, wasn't even playing on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. Mammoth of a man. They tried to do the same thing with Zach Banner and put him on the right. Third rounder for Chukwuma Okorafor. Who else am I missing? Fourth rounder for Dan Moore. Trying to think where Max Starks was. I'm going to see where Max Starks was drafted. Something tells me he was a second round pick as well, but I've got to find my Steelers draft history.
Yeah, I think here. The last time, other than Broderick, that they drafted a tackle high didn't work out so well, because it was Mike Adams, I think.
That was about the highest. They hadn't taken a first round guy. Was it Leon Searcy back in 92, I believe?
Yeah, something like that.
Was the highest or the first round pick. And there might have been somebody else, but they didn't end up playing left tackle or tackle at all. That was taken sometime in the early 2000s. In fact, okay, Max Starks was a third rounder, pick 75. Oh, yeah. Kendall Simmons was one of the other top offensive linemen. I mean, within like the last century, you could probably name them like on one hand. I mean, we talked about Pouncey. David DeCastro was in that list as well. So I kind of wonder sometimes with a little bit of like, are players going to fall? And that's where I'm at with center. For me, I think they could be patient with center. Are they going to get their pick of the litter when this cycles back around and they end up, let me see, they're on the clock with pick 51, right? 20 and 51. So when it comes back around to 51, definitely somebody's going to come off the board. But I look at some of the teams at the top of this list and I say, well, can they be patient on center? Does that mean if they take a dive on wide receiver? That's a whole other topic. I'm going to get Flash on that one for sure, because he'll be way more passionate about it than we're talking about the least sexy type of guys. And that makes me wonder, well, maybe they could go tackle center. Because, you know, wide receivers sometimes, I hate to say it, but dime a dozen. You see how many float around the league, and you find guys that are, look at Puka Nacua, what was a fifth round pick or sixth round pick last year?
They can find a wide receiver late. You're not going to find, you can potentially find a tackle, probably not a left tackle, but you can potentially find a tackle late. You're not going to find a center late. Now,
what do you consider late?
Second round, you're not finding the best of what's in this. Like Cedric Van Pran, the guy from Georgia, he'll be around in after the second round. He'll be around in the second round and probably in the third round. All right. Zach Frazier might, and I say might, be there in the second round. It might be necessary to move up to get him. He might be there at 51. He ain't going to be there in the third round. But I don't think either Barton or JPJ are going to be there in the second round at all. I believe both of them will go in the first round.
Yeah, and I don't think it seems odd because the Steelers don't seem to show a lot of interest in JPJ, Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon. We'll say the Oregon center. That's why we say JPJ. People are like, what are you talking about? Joey Porter Jr.? No, like we're talking about this other guy that's coming out.
I can say Joey Porter Jr. I just get Jackson Powers. That's like, that reminds me of the guys like, it doesn't have to call me Johnson. I don't know why. I can't get that name out of my mouth.
So what I was going to say was, as we're looking at this, I think they might have an inkling that the Oregon center might not be there. And it's kind of like why they might be ignoring him, or they don't want him with that 20th overall pick. Okay. I think they may have different intentions there, and that's why they're maybe looking beyond and into the second round, which is plausible. I mean, how many first round picks have been used on centers? I mean, we talked about Pouncey, but over the years it happens, but it doesn't happen super frequently. So you could gamble with this. I mean, there's been like Travis Frederick that's gone in the first round. You've got Tyler Linderbaum over to the Ravens is a recent one as well. But even like a Creed Humphrey fell into the second round. And then you start talking about some other guys like Landon Dickerson. Is he going to play center in the NFL? He's been playing guard for the Eagles, who just so happened to have a center retire. So we got to look at other team needs and see who else might snag somebody if the Steelers don't pull the trigger at 20. At 20, they probably have their pick of the litter, maybe aside from the guy from Duke, right? So we don't know where he might go. It kind of reminds me of Peter Skoronski last year.
Yeah.
Position flexible and unsure of where he might land.
Yeah. I think one of the two, either Jackson Powers Johnson or the kid from Duke, which I can't remember what his name is, which is why I keep saying the kid from Duke.
Graham Barton.
Barton, right. One of the two of them is likely to go before 20. Maybe not. Both may be there, but I think there's a good chance that another team will pick. And it may be Barton because of his position flexibility. The Bengals pick in front of us. They're always offensive line needy. So there's a possibility there. If we let it go get past us, the Dolphins are going to be in need. So there's potentially somebody there.
See, I don't think so, because like what the Dolphins didn't they signed away the Tennessee Titans, Brewer or Bauer or whatever his name was, the former starter. Who else did you say? The Bengals.
The Bengals are always the offensive line needed, and I'm talking more about Barton now than anything else.
Yeah. Okay.
And even though they signed the guy on the Dolphins, their offensive line was a mess too. So, it won't be. there are plenty of people in need. Tackles are going to go hot and heavy, right? Once the quarterbacks drop off the line, tackles are going to go fast because there is a very good group of tackles in this draft. And it's probably a deeper group than the centers. There's never a super deep group of centers, right? Yeah. You've got some elite centers in this draft, more so than you've had in drafts past, in my view, but it's not deep, right? You're never going to have, you know, 12 good centers. You could have 12 good tackles. But, you know, tackles are going to, there's going to be a potential run on tackles. Tackles are going to go. If a tackle falls, though, right? If a tackle falls to them, who's it? You know, a rated top 10, top 15 tackle that they never thought they were going to get. Who knows? They might pull the trigger on a tackle, especially if he is a more standard right tackle. You know, even though they don't like to pick right tackles in the first round, right? They likely can get a tackle in the second round. But again, it's going to be a step down.
But yeah, I wonder about that, though. I'm still, like, there's guys going to first round. They're not going to always say that they're going to be top-level future Hall of Fame gold jacket guys. You get a lot of guys that come in the late rounds, well, and there's a lot. There about a quarter of the starting centers last year were undrafted entirely, and some of that also leads to you get somebody that's not so good in those middle or late rounds, and then you have to throw someone else in there. You need a warm body. So I'm not going to say you're going to get, like, a perfect athlete undrafted, you know what I mean?
Remember, yeah, all of this is a crapshoot, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Everybody, like, we're basing this on what, you know, what we can see from their combine numbers, what we can see from tape, what analysts who supposedly know better than we do say, right? But all of us are wrong 90% of the time.
No, you know, you're just wrong more often than I am.
Actually, I'm never wrong. Remember, I'm always right. But you know, you've got more crapshoot with any draft position in any of these drafts than you have success, right? People miss more than they hit. So it could be Cedric Van Pran could come out of this and be the best center in the draft. Nobody thinks that right now. But 5 years from now, they might be like, well, we were way off on JPJ and that Barton guy stunk and it was actually Cedric Van Pran.
You know,
holy crap, he went in the fifth round.
I really have that gut feeling that he's the guy. I do. I haven't said it before, but it's like Mike Tomlin gets stuck on the big colleges. Like, you know, and not to say that anything against Oregon, but like, okay, Duke, you know what I mean? Versus Georgia or Ohio State, you know? That's kind of where I'm at with some of this, or even conference wise, Big Ten. You know, he always looks at, you got edge rushers that are coming, like you got a bunch of boys that are out of Wisconsin on this roster right now. So for some reason, that sticks with me more than even Zach Frazier, West Virginia. And I know that'll be slander to, like, a lot of people are listening to this or West Virginia fans too. I'm not saying that. I think Frazier could be the pick too. And there's more smoke around that fire than there is for the Oregon center. I don't know why it keeps coming around to me, but why am I saying maybe not center? Is it a reach? Can they get another tackle in round two, or are they going to go wide receiver and then have to find a tackle that's in, you know, the third or the fourth round, and you end up with maybe another Dan Moore? And it's going to be a guy, if it's that deep, they're going to be rolling with Dan Moore at left tackle and Broderick Jones on the right for another year. Do you play two rookies on the offensive line? They were kind of forced to with Dan Moore before. That wasn't the plan. Kendrick Green was a plan, however, as a third round pick. We saw how that did not materialize. And I look at, like, the pecking order of some of the teams that are out here and drafting before and after the Steelers. So do we think a center could go before pick 20 when the Steelers are on the clock? Let's take a look at the team. We got to do this with every position, of course, but the Chicago Bears at pick one are not taking a center. No. And a center is probably not going in the first 10 picks. The Bears are on the clock again at pick 9. That's not going to happen. I do feel that they need a center. You look at their roster, their cupboards are pretty bare too, but pun intended. But where are the Bears at again? Because they've traded a lot of their picks, and they don't draft again until the third round and pick 75. So they may have to back off a little bit, maybe not off the pick 1, but maybe pick 9, in order to, you know, fill their roster out a little more, but that gives a little breathing room for the Steelers, or a team that's hopeful to grab a center here in the mid to late first round and beginning, we'll say top 50 picks for all intents and purposes. Washington Commanders, they signed somebody. I'm trying to remember who it was. Patriots, I think, are set. Cardinals are picking fourth. And there's a little bit of speculation as to, do they jump at one of the wide receivers like Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison Jr. or any of these, you know, hot rod guys? There could be a lot of first round receivers that are going that leave some talent. Yeah, some talent too. So they play that into the cards of those top three picks could be quarterback, even four, if Patriots or Cardinals or somebody move out of that spot and still think they can get their guy. Chargers, probably looking, I don't know, they're probably looking at a tackle or a wide receiver, I would think, as well. That just seems like a Jim Harbaugh kind of thing. The Giants, there's another team that's just a mess. Like, what, they need a whole bunch of stuff, I think. Still offensive line. Center, probably not there. Titans signed Cushenberry, I think, over from Denver. Probably not a need there. I have to look at the Falcons. I'm not sure who they got there, but at pick eight, I think that's still rich. We said the Bears are at nine. The Jets are at 10. The Jets have a guy they drafted in the second round last year. That's their starter. So they're kind of set there. The Vikings, probably, it looks like they're not going to be sitting at pick 11. If they might be moving up and trying to maneuver for a quarterback, if they can't get theirs at 11, they trade it back into the first round and have pick 23 that came from Houston via Cleveland. So I can't help myself. You get somewhere at like pick 12, you look at the Denver Broncos, and a lot of this order is going to be the same other than picks that have been traded, right?
Right.
And the Broncos are definitely a team that's going to need some offensive linemen. They need a lot of things too. And they had some players that have left. They drafted Quinn Meinerz a few years ago. He was a center. He's the highest, what was it, the highest selected Division III player in the history of the NFL draft. So is he a guard or is he a center? And that's the same question we would ask of the Eagles at pick 22, Landon Dickerson. And I believe they've got somebody else that was like a third or fourth round pick. I got to go back and look at the roster. That's guard, center capable, interior offensive lineman type guys. It's not too far-fetched, because we sat here and asked that same question. If James Daniels would ever snap a ball in the NFL, that was the way he was pegged coming out, was a center, and he's all been exclusively a right guard in the National Football League. Mason Cole was signed as a veteran and moved over from guard, from, I believe he was a left guard and moved over to center. So you have some of these things. And of course, Kendrick Green drafted as a guard and plays center. So yeah, I know, but it bears worth saying, Brian, that, you know, we're not like completely talking out of our ass when it comes to some of this. There's going to be some shifting around. Some teams already have plans. You can't just look at this and say, oh, there's a hole at center, because their plans might be, let's move, Broncos might move Miners over to center and then go after a guard instead. They may go after a completely different position of need. I haven't mentioned anything defensively. There's going to be some defensive picks. Corner, edge rusher are going to start to leak. Elite defensive linemen, they're going to leak into these top 10 to 15 picks, aside from three or four quarterbacks going there. So to round out the other teams ahead of the Steelers, the Raiders have their guy, the Saints have their guy, the Colts have their guy, the Seahawks need offensive line across the board as well. The Jaguars ended up signing Mitch Morse. We mentioned the Bengals, and then there's the Rams also. I think they're pretty content with their starting center at this time as well, before the Steelers are on the clock. You get right behind the Steelers, and you've got the Dolphins, who I said mentioned they'd signed someone already. You got the Eagles on hold on a second, I lost track here. You got the Dolphins, the Eagles, the Vikings, the Cowboys. Cowboys are in a need. They have a history of always taking offensive linemen and building that great wall of Dallas. First round picks, that's one that you got to start being a little concerned with. The Packers, not so much. I think a concern. The Buccaneers, Ryan Jensen just retired. I believe they have the guy that was his fill-in is still on that roster. Do they feel comfortable rolling with that into the 2024 season? Arizona Cardinals can use a center still. They're back on the clock at 27. The Bills went and signed Beattis, I think, came over. They got somebody from the Cowboys, I think. And then trying to go off memory, dude. Lions are good. Frank Ragnow, one of the best in the game right now. Ravens drafted Linderbaum not too long ago. 49ers and Chiefs are all set. with their picks, and then you go to recycle again. The Carolina Panthers, who need everything, are at the top of round two. And a lot of the same repeat names that'll go through here. But as you crawl to pick 50, it's basically like the Panthers, the Cardinals. Oh, let's see here. Panthers again. And maybe that might be about it. I got to look up the Falcons here real quick as well. But I think there are three or four teams here that could go center. It's just a matter of I don't think they all go center. There's not going to be there's not going to be three or four centers gone by the time you get to 51, which is the part of my exercise here.
Three, I think it's viable that three could be, right? Because realistically, if you say Barton is position flexible, anybody could draft him at any point, and yeah, he's not a center.
So yeah, right? I almost don't count him, but it would be nice if somebody does consider him as a center, because that leaves an extra dude on the board later for the Steelers.
Right. Which is why I say you might get Zach Frazier, right? Also, like, if I'm not mistaken, like, didn't Zach Frazier like break his leg or something, and like got back really fast on a broken leg to try and help his team? But like, there's a potential. He's not going to be elevated, or people might not be willing to take a chance based on medicals. Who knows, right? There's all the scuttlebutt that JPJ is dropping down people's boards, right? And I swear to God, that happens every year, and then, of course, they go higher. So I don't trust anything that anybody says right now
about
who's going where. There's a very good chance that a center will be left at 51. There's also... like, I shouldn't say very good. To me, it's 50-50. You got a 50-50 shot that one of the three, Barton, Frazier, or Jackson Powers Johnson, is available. And it won't be Jackson Powers Johnson, I don't think. But one of them will still be around at 51. There's also as much of a chance that they're all three gone, and then you're left with what's the best of the rest.
Yeah, and that's why I think 51, by 51... can they find a center somewhere other than the draft at this point? I don't think so.
I don't see how they do. Like I said, unless a trade comes up that nobody is anticipating, but I just, people aren't giving away the middle of their line. I don't think there's anybody out there that's like in a position of discontent or on the last year of a contract, and they're like, I don't want to pay him next year. I just don't see, it's too critical of a position, even though it's not sexy and it's not highly valued. It's a very critical position.
Yeah. And it is, it's very important. It's just a matter of, where do they go? I know a lot of people like, if you want to talk about a name to say, the tackle from Georgia, Mims. Amarius Rims.
I'm not trying. Mims. Forget it.
Yeah, Mr. Mims. I know, man. I hate draft season because, to be completely honest, this is especially a position where you don't hear someone's name. Like, you hear Malik Nabers, right, and you're like, oh, I can't butcher. Like, you could have if you don't. When you hear offensive lineman names being thrown around and you don't hear them even properly on the radio or TV, like, I'll hear it's pronounced like two or three different ways unless they're actually interviewing the player. And then I go, oh, that's how you say Martavis. It's not Martavius. So, anyways, yeah. That's the interesting point here is that we pretty much pegged this down. In years past, we tried to say, can they get a quarterback somewhere else? What running backs are available somewhere else? We even did this with centers. And this is why I know like too much off the top of my head about historical trends with the NFL draft in the center position. You have, how do I want to say this? We have pretty much a confidence that it has to be pick 20 or 51 unless they make some sort of trade shuffling around in order to grab a center. And we also feel that they probably think that they can get by keeping, as much as people would hate this, Moore as a left tackle and Jones as the right tackle. If they, let's say they don't take a tackle with the first round pick and it is a center, or they like, surprise every, maybe not as much of a surprise to us, but basically over the needs we feel are offensive line versus wide receiver, they go and they snag a receiver. When's the last time they've taken a first round receiver? Antonio Holmes. Yeah. So that
means this year it'll be Marvin Harrison Jr.
What's the dumb stuff? You talk about National Liars Month and all the things about him sliding down the boards. That guy doesn't fall out of the top 10. I'd be shocked. But we sat here years ago with DJ Metcalf And we were like, that guy, you know, that's top overall pick of the draft. And he went in the second round. And we're sitting here like puzzled, like, how can that be? Did somebody know something we didn't know, et cetera, et cetera? And you look at back on it all these years later and you're like, how the hell did that guy go in the second round? It was like a before and an after.
I mean, Zach may disagree with me on this when you get him on to talk about wide receivers. To me, if Neighbors, the Rome guy, whatever his last name is or first name is, I can't say it. Or Marvin Harrison. If one of those three guys is there for some reason, those are all top 10 guys in my view. Then you go, well, screw it. We're taking a receiver.
Yeah. And LSU's got more than one guy coming out too. Like a Brian Thomas Jr. And I want to say, is it Adonai Mitchell, Texas, Ladd McConkey? These are guys that the Steelers are looking at. I think is McConkey one that did have a visit scheduled with? I got to pull up the old Twitter, X, whatever you call it again, because they're, you know, all these draft visits are coming around, and when they have visits, there's more smoke around it. And you could also kind of, when they go to pro days and stuff like that, you could kind of like pencil around, cast a net around teammates too. Cause we saw that happen when they went with Devin Bush. They were looking at, what was the defensive end that came out? Chase Winovich. They actually had him go to dinner. And it was like, that was like just the smoke screen. I don't think it fooled anybody. And of course, who are we fooling? Everybody will be like, oh, it's such a bad pick. I can't believe they moved up. No, that was the consensus. And it was Bush or Devin White, who's also no longer with his original team either. So there's plenty of wide receivers to go around. Ricky Pearsall. I like looking at PFF because it's like PFF ranked 49, Ricky Pearsall, Florida. There's all kind of guys that you could look at. Keon Coleman, Florida State. He's ranked 55. Well, 6'4", 215. You can't teach that, brother.
As everybody knows, I use PFF for my mock draft simulator.
Yes.
So, you know, according to PFF, I can get a top 100 guy in the seventh round. I can get every single pick that I make to be a top 100 guy. So that will tell you exactly my level of faith with PFF.
No, and I know that, well, speaking of that, let's see what they say about centers here. So Jackson Powers Johnson is their 24th ranked overall prospect. Zach Frazier's 32nd. Cedric Van Pran is 93rd. Now, 93 will knock you all the way. I was going to say, there's still some of those compensatory picks and things that, of that nature that start to happen. Baltimore is actually still in the third round with pick 93. It goes all the way to pick 101 is the first pick of the fourth round. So your top 100 picks are all in the first three rounds. And so they feel that after that, the center classes fall off from there too. Bo Limmer from Arkansas, they have as 106, and it goes all the way down to the Michigan center, Drake Nugent, 167. And then you're into the 200s with everybody else. So not a lot of confidence, as Brian's saying, want to go out, jump, and maybe get one. But where does that leave you with offensive tackle? Can you find an offensive tackle in round two? The Steelers have before, and they have not as well. Can they find some other large-bodied guy? They usually redshirt somebody like a Zach Banner or an Alejandro Villanueva for a year before throwing him in that kind of role. So it would, I guess it would suffice to say that with our speculation, if they don't take one of these two positions in the first two rounds, they're not going to be a starter in 2024, and then they got some more work to do, and it's more plausible that they jump for a center in one of those two spots versus any other position because they got to rely on the draft in order to grab one. There's just no other way, at least with tackle.
Yeah.
It's the devil they know, and you don't have two completely brand new pieces. And you already had Broderick Jones playing on the right side last year, so you're not shuffling too much around. You would have four of your pieces, if you're including more on the left, staying there. And, you know, it's funny. As much as we rag on Moore, Myles Garrett has never done anything against that guy. I mean, it's something to throw out there so that people are always like, oh, they're playing against all these big, scary edge rushers of the AFC North. Who's the big, scary edge rusher from the Ravens right now? I mean, Madubuike plays on the line, and he's a hoss, but they don't have anybody. Clowney's out of town now, too, so, I mean, they're relying on veterans. They might have to draft somebody. That might be somewhere where they're looking. So, I mean, as much as it might be a bitter pill to swallow, it might be another year process before they add yet another starting piece, top level piece, as far as a tackle that could shoot at wide receiver. First round, we've seen it happen many, many times in the second round. How many second round wide receivers can we name over the last few years?
Oh, yeah.
Second, I mean, thirds.
Mm. Yeah. I honestly do think the first two positions, the first two drafts could, or draft, you know, draftees, the first two draftees could be both offensive linemen. I very strongly believe if they want a center, they're probably going to have to take him in the first round. But we'll see, you know, we'll see. You never know who falls, right? You just never know. The person that they need is they need a right tackle and then the center, right? Because Moore's supposed to be, or not Moore, Broderick Jones is supposed to be the left tackle. So can you find a right tackle in the second round?
Absolutely.
Yes, you can absolutely find a right tackle in the second round. They've had success doing so. They've had success finding right tackles in the third round. You know, you can find a right tackle. It's not as highly valued a position as left, right? Unless there's somebody like a Joe Alt who's probably a right tackle, but is like just ridiculous, and so he's going to go high. I can't get past the center thing, right? I just can't get past it. This is the only place you can address it, and if you don't address it well, you're gonna fall off, right? There are three guys, and there's another guy who projects to go inside. He's a tackle. I think it's Fontenouille something. Can't say his name. I think he might be from Washington. He is a tackle, but he has position flexibility, and he is projected to move inside either to guard or center, right? But I don't think he is considered as much a center prospect as the two actual centers and Bart. And that's where it breaks down for me. You don't normally see three center prospects in the top 25 players, right? And I just feel like if they're going to address it, they better address it immediately.
Yeah, well, there is smoke to that fire, okay? I feel that, you know, Howie Roseman.
Now I remember. I had a whole point.
Go.
And because I'm old, it went away, right? The point left out of my head, and I couldn't remember. So now I remember because you generously just reminded me of my point. Now, if I keep talking, I'll forget.
No, go do it. Shoot. Fire.
Okay. There's been a lot of talk about how they're not interested in JPJ because they didn't go to his pro. They spent a ton of time with him at the Senior Bowl, right? And while I get it, Tomlin, it's usually Tomlin and Khan. It used to always be Tomlin and Colbert, right? Wherever they went, you knew that was going to be the first round pick. Somebody that they both met with. That doesn't necessarily have to play anymore. This is a new era, right? Omar is the Khan artist, right? He may not want to follow that same pattern. They sent guys to Duke, right? They sent the offensive line coach to Duke to work out those guys. I don't think you can take any of them off the board is my point. I don't think you can just say, well, they didn't go to his pro day. They didn't need to go to his pro day. They saw him at Senior Bowl. And you go from there.
No, I'm totally with you and totally in agreement with you on some of this. I think my exact comment a little bit ago was that I'm trying to circle back with now I'm getting the memory loss, Brian. Maybe they don't expect to go there with pick 20, or maybe they suspect somebody could. Maybe they think, oh, the Steelers have that need. Let's get ahead of them. And I mean, when you're in between like 15 picks, 15 to 20, it seems like a sweet spot if you feel that center is an elite player. We've seen him go in that area and then on through after that. It could be another David DeCastro thing. David DeCastro was very highly thought of coming out. Bud Dupree was a last second dinner when he came out. It was like they started to get like kind of like a feel. There were feelers out there that maybe this Dupree guy out of Kentucky, maybe he might be there and Steelers are always picking in the 20s. So, but he might be there. Now, I was trying to see who all was part of Isaac Williams, the offensive line coach at the Senior Bowl, was specifically working with. Let me see if I can pull this up. All right. So he was working with, let's see, Brandon Coleman, TCU, Javion Cohen, Miami. I'm trying to see if there's any. There's a lot of tackles here. They definitely had a, I think Van Pran. Yeah, Van Pran's right here on the second part of this graphic. So they worked out with him, the Arkansas center, Bo Limmer, Andrew Rame out of Oklahoma, another big program, and Charles Turner, LSU. And I think the other names other than Van Pran, we said Limmer looks like he would be higher up that list if you were looking, depending on what you're looking at. Like NFL Draft Buzz, I think, has their top three. The centers are definitely JPJ, Frazier, and Van Pran, right? And they have them all over, but the they have like things called like an all scouts, right? And they have the scouts. They have them Jackson Powers Johnson at 38 out of the first round, 57.1 for Zach Frazier, and 73.8 for Cedric Van Pran. So he kind of he goes out into the third round. Would it end up that way again? I mean, were there the same kind of flags for like a Creed Humphrey? I remember saying that. I was like, wasn't there something around Creed Humphrey and why he wasn't a first round pick? There was for Dickerson. Dickerson yeah. definitely had like a knee or some type knee of
injury. Yeah, absolutely.
Injury history. And maybe that's something, because now we got to flip back to what teams. Carolina Panthers, they have some picks. They need to do stuff. They gave up the farm last year. They might be the worst team in football right now. So they've got to make some moves. Dallas Cowboys have made zero free agency moves, and we said how Jerry likes two things, man. He kind of reminds you of Al Davis with speed. Jerry likes a run game, and he likes his speedy wide receivers. So there's no telling there, but they definitely could. I'm looking at their roster, and it's like they have two street free agents on ourlads.com with the depth charts penciled in as the potential centers. I'm looking at some of the other interior linemen, like, yeah, college free agent as a left guard. They've got to be going there. Now, as far as the rest of their tackles, Tyler Smith and Terrence Steele, those guys are above the line. And of course, they have Zach Martin put in here too. The Chicago Bears currently they're completely bare too. Like they don't have anybody there. And who was the last team I was looking at? I already mentioned the Eagles. So you have, I think, like at least four teams. Maybe a fifth team I didn't mention or look at as in depth here. I know I've mentioned like maybe Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let me see the Falcons. I was looking for what the Falcons had here. Drew Dahlman, they've got their center here. Oh, John LeGlue, remember him? He's currently on their roster right now. Former Steelers, where are they now? So, cup of coffee for a minute. Didn't LeGlue yep. come in and play? Wasn't he one of those like five or six left guards that played like 2-3 years ago next to yes. Dan Moore? Yeah, I thought so. Yeah. So, not to get too long-winded here, I think we've hammered home the point. People are going to be like, how many more times can you say the same thing? It's trying to make an educated guess out of the National Liars Month and see. As Brian said, they might already know enough with the Oregon Center that they don't have to like, they don't have to be like the Jets and tell everybody how in love with Broderick Jones they were, so then he doesn't end up being on your roster. You're trying to throw off the scent. Don't forget, it was like this with Kenny Pickett. Like Kenny Pickett was definitely a possibility. He was the kid right next door in the other part of the facility with the Steelers, but they sure showed Malik Willis and Desmond Ridder a whole lot of love during that whole draft process too. And maybe even so much that a lot of people were thinking Malik Willis, remember they were thinking he was going to go like sixth overall, possibly he could have been the first quarterback taken. So everybody is usually wrong at these times. The only thing I hope I'm not wrong about, I really want offensive line fixed. I'm really curious if they pull the trigger on a tackle, because I have that gut feeling that they're not going to, or they'll do it and they'll do it late for depth and insurance purposes, or somebody that could compete, maybe win the job or develop to win that job in the future.
It won't surprise me. It's very clear they like Dan Moore more than any of us like Dan Moore. And not that we're Dan Moore haters, but, you know, they see more in Dan Moore than the general media and the rest of the world, apparently. But, you know, it is what it is. They have stuck to that. And it, when Dan Moore gets beat, it looks atrocious, right? But he doesn't get beat every time, right? He is a serviceable member of the offensive line. He's not great. I'm not even sure he's good. But, you know, he can be there, and he's not going to get you killed for the most part. But he doesn't hold up for a long time. And remember, you know, this has always been, since he has been drafted, a team that gets the ball out super fast, right? And if you hold the ball, bad things happen.
And not only that, yeah, he's usually matched up against premier pass rushers because he is the left tackle. And with it, like I said, even within their own division, I know I was poking some fun at the other teams in the AFC North, but Steelers held their own even with bad quarterbacking. Now you've got two quarterbacks who hold the ball longer than anybody like in the league on average, both of them, Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. So they've got to do something with this offensive line. I think it does start with center, Brian. More and more I get sold on it. I do get worried about that second round. I get worried about anybody else who could move into the second round that may not be there with 21 or pick 20. Can Omar move back just a little bit if somebody were getting itchy for one of those other wide receivers they find out the Steelers don't want? Or maybe there's a corner that falls somewhere into this, you know, zone of the draft where they got to, you know, one of these teams got to leapfrog somebody else in their division. It's looking for the same thing.
I think there's two things that could happen. If they have a very clear need, two very clear needs in my mind on the offensive line. They have a clear need at wide receiver. Those are three positions that have to be addressed somewhere in this draft. So one of the things is if somebody of value starts to drift down the board, you got to admit they probably aren't afraid of a move, right? They weren't afraid to do it last year. I don't think they're going to be afraid to do it this year. And they have some more capital to deal with to try and make that move right at this point, right? Because they've got some extra picks from all the other shuffling they've done. So it wouldn't surprise me to see them move up if one of the guys that they think it would be fantastic if we managed to get him happens to drop down to them. I hear my dog coming. He's never been on the camera before.
Oh. Hi, Cooper.
He's down here hiding from the rain.
Oh, yeah. We got the big storms coming our direction. Like they're dismissing school early today and everything else for it, which means we should put a bow on this soon in case I lose power. So, but PFF and a few other places, draft needs for the Steelers. I mean, we've talked about center and tackle exclusively, offensive tackle exclusively for this show. We know wide receiver, and that's coming. That's probably the next topic.
Yep.
Corner. And I say, yeah, corner, like another Joey Porter Jr. I know Dante Jackson's on a 1 year. I know that they need some depth. There might be, I think one of the reasons Patrick Peterson is not signed anywhere is like a wait and hold, wait and see, wait till see what we do in the draft. It might surprise you. We may have to pick through that too, but I just don't know how high of a priority that could be over one of the two offensive line positions or receiver. Receiver, you could still find some dudes though, third or fourth round, but can you rely on having them play right out the gate? That's the thing.
Here's the fallback. Let's say JPJ JPJ is their guy. I'm not saying he is, but let's say he is. And let's say somebody leapfrogs them, or somebody just decides, well, that's where we're going, and he goes earlier than anticipated, right? Now you're at 20 and you don't have him, but one of the top corners has fallen. Could they do that? Sure, absolutely. That's why it's all very suspect, right? You just don't know who's going to go where and how somebody else is going to prioritize things. Once you get out of the top 10, if somebody that everybody is absolutely convinced is a top 10 pick is not going to be in the top 10. They're going to drop down. You know, one of those five quarterbacks that everybody's talking about is not going in the top 10, right? The mock drafts are all going nuts. Oh, five quarterbacks. I've seen one where six quarterbacks went in the first round. Six quarterbacks in the first round.
Unprecedented. No. Yeah.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Five. There's a good chance that five won't go because one of them will drop, right?
Yeah. And I mean, just looking around the board, Steelers did host Florida State defensive tackle Braden Fisk, Kentucky corner Andrew Phillips, Penn State corner Daquan Hardy and Western Kentucky wide receiver Malachi Corley were part of their top 30 visits.
None of those guys are going in the top at 20.
No, and I just lost all my alerts that I had on here. Let me see if I can find them real quick, because I had some other. Cooper DeJean is back to full health now, the Iowa corner. That could have been something that maybe gets him dropping a little further. Definitely should be a first round prospect if healthy. Washington wide receiver Rome Odunze.
That's the guy
we were trying to say. Yeah, earlier is visiting with the New York Jets. Oh, let's see what else do we have here. That was the one. Washington left tackle Troy Fontenau.
That's the guy.
Visiting. Yeah, I know. And you know what? I try and fake it. I don't know if it's Fontenau, but I believe that's how I heard it. And then, of course, he's visiting with the Bengals. So your bat senses are rate. They're attuned to what's going on in the draft. Malik Nabers is going to the Cardinals and then the LA Chargers on some visits too. So I think that rounds out all of the bigger names that got announced here. I was trying to see if there's anything else, and I think that's all of them. And then of course Carson Wentz got signed by the Kansas City Chiefs to be a backup now. So they have career revival. I don't know.
Watch out. Chiefs going to have a top 10 pick next year. Cause Mahomes going to get hurt.
I was already thinking with Burrow getting hurt as often as he does, that has afforded the Bengals to kind of hoard some talent that they might not have had otherwise, like Jamar Chase. And now they're going to be, what is their pick, Brian? They're just ahead of the Steelers at 18. Right,
18.
Yeah.
Okay.
18. Cause they still had a winning record. They were at the bottom of the teams that didn't make the posts, bottom of the pecking order of the draft. For the teams that didn't make the postseason, the Rams were in there at 19 and the Steelers at 20. So, oh man, I think that's going to do it for us. And keep an eye on some of those names, some of those visits that are floating around and all of our speculation. Oh, and then of course the very, very last draft need. Quarterback. Shows up a lot for the Steelers, and wasn't it Michael Penix Jr. that was just getting eyed by the Steelers, ogled by Steelers brass?
I can get him in the seventh round, according to PFF.
You know what? This time of year just drives me insane, because there's people that are going to tell you him, Bo Nix. They're available in the second round at pick 51 for the Steelers, and I'm sitting here like, I'm not so sure about that. Like, maybe Bo Nix scares me because he's like super senior. He's like Van Wilder or, you know, the Tommy Boy quote. A lot of guys go to college for 7 years.
Yeah.
Doctors and lawyers. So that kind of gives you the Kenny Pickett vibe too. The older player, the Brandon Whedon, older players.
It'll be one of those guys, Bo Nix, Penix.
Yeah.
One of those two guys you watch will drop out.
Yeah, we'll see. But it doesn't mean that Penix is going to be. I mean, it could surprise us if they got him in the second round, if the Steelers did, or they were in the back half. I'd be shocked if that was their top pick, because they need that help with the offensive line. Go center, and then if there's like that quarterback is just sitting there, the current guys, Wilson and Fields, are only under contract for this year. So, yeah. You know, that might be an insurance policy too. You can't tell me Kyle Allen, or if you go the way of the April Fool's joke over at Steel City.
Well, yeah, Ben's coming back, right?
Ben's returning. Well, that's because, you know, his wife was worried about injury, you know, his reduced workload. So he's coming. Everybody's already acknowledged Russell Wilson's the starter, even if Ben's returning.
Yes.
Oh, I love it. Some people didn't get it. Some people are like, you're mean. And I'm like, no, mean is like, you know, doing April Fool's celebrity deaths. That's mean. Poking a little bit of fun that Ben didn't want to drink beer and do a podcast anymore is fun.
The one that my buddy Don sent us, that's the one that's mean.
Yeah.
Mean to say that, because I, you know what? I do that deal in a heartbeat. A 2025 first round pick and a third this year to get Justin Jefferson? Shoot, I'd do that in a million years every time. But it's ridiculous and it's not happening. That was a mean tweet, though. But that's a mean.
Well, and the other thing is like when you specifically, I wrote in the article, this is a, you know, I actually said who this affects the most is Kyle Allen. He was just signed as the third quarterback, but thankfully this is an April Fool's joke and it shouldn't affect his employment right away. And, you know, there we go. But yeah, Ben's return. Like, some people are like, that's too obvious. That's too. And I'm like, because when we did him in the past, trading Mike Tomlin wasn't obviously an April Fool's joke, or he who shall not be named, Neil, that threw a bunch of Super Bowl 30 picks into the Steelers Hall of Honor, was also one of our classic April Fool's
articles. I refuse to acknowledge that. I don't even acknowledge that that article exists.
I took a lot of pride in that one, Brian, because I even took the graphics. I got it looking like the official Steelers stuff, and it threw a lot of people for a loop. This one was just kind of like, quarterback room, why not? They said they would, Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin, Art Rooney, they would look everywhere in order to fortify this quarterback room. They would look in the draft. They would look in free agency. They would look at trades. But one place, with the Steelers are at the forefront of everything. They're at the forefront of these kick returners. Cordarrelle Patterson with this whole new rule. They go there, but no stone left unturned. They looked at retired players. So, hey, Ben's only like 42, so it's possible. There were some guys. Last from the past also named in there, besides Brett Favre and Tom Brady, as guys that were playing at 42. Vinny Testaverde. Woo. Yeah, I believe with the Cowboys. I believe he was with the Cowboys. He had moved on from Tampa and then Cleveland and then was with Dallas at that point. So, last for the past. Thank you, my friend, for joining us once again. Folks, thank
Always
you.
Always happy.
Yeah, thank you for watching or listening wherever you may be. Drop some lines in the comments. Give us, we can use some ideas. It's still a little slow. We're going to be mocking some mock drafts coming up and then mock draft insanities right around the corner. I think we're going to take a look at wide receivers next, and then we're going to make fun of some mock drafts. We actually said we were going to do that today, and we looked at some of these, and we're like, there's really nothing to mock. You can mock some of the other teams, but...
nobody's being really, really super stupid.
Not for the Steelers, for us, anyways.
You can mock them for almost everybody else, but for once, like, I read a mock draft from one of the pundits, and I'm not going... That's ridiculous.
No, it's fairly plausible in most cases, unless they're giving him like a running back or something stupid. Or edge.
The closest one is the guy where they gave him the other LSU receiver, Brian, whatever his name is.
Yeah, Thomas Jr.
I was like, no, I don't think they're going to do that in the first round. But even that, it wasn't like I was like, oh, that's absurd.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, it still isn't. That's the crazy thing about this is a very weird year. I think the only one that I would like lose my mind over is like if they took a quarterback in the first round again. Like
that would be bad.
That seems a little bit of I hate to say reach, but you can't imagine that they would do any better than like maybe the fourth or fifth best player left on the board at that position when you have other. You probably have a right tackle one or two probably are sitting there along with center one or two. Like that's, you got to go there. Even wide receiver wise, you're probably five or six deep possibly with the way this class is panning out. So we shall see. Folks, thank you for watching or listening wherever you may be. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. Leave a rating or review if you have the time to do that. We appreciate you, and we will catch you on the flip side next week. Hope everyone had a good holiday weekend as well. Forgot to ask you how that went, Brian, but a little bittersweet. The kid's just a little – it's the last year she could really do some of the Easter egg hunting. She's getting to be a little too old.
This is my little rant about Easter. This is for the 2%ers, my 2%ers. Easter rant. Apparently, Easter is the one holiday you don't screw around with. And the reason I say that, people are open on Christmas anymore. People are open on Thanksgiving anymore. People are open every other damn holiday. I wanted to go get some damn food. Nothing is freaking open on Easter.
You didn't cook a ham or something, man? Ham, lamb?
My daughter's at college. There's nobody at home. My wife and I are looking at each other going, no, we're not cooking any damn dinner.
Yeah, I feel it. I do. There's a lot of nice places that were open around here, like your nicer dining establishments that usually are open with reservation for Easter. But I had some ham, so had ham or lamb's usually the tradition around my part. So, folks, hope you enjoyed your Easter meal. But you are right; there were some places, a lot of places weren't open. It was like, oh crap, we forgot to get some pop. Where can we go get some pop? And maybe a gas station. But Christmas is usually most of the places are closed then too, so I can't fault that. But anyways, that'll do it for us, folks. My name's Joe. His name is Brian. Till next time, we encourage everyone out there to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.